This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon. It's Monday, March 3rd, and I'm Marie Buskey for RCR's Daily Brief, filling in for Megan. Paul Brennan is up first with the latest news headlines. Then we'll hear a clip from the insightful interview Paul Brennan did with the energy consultant Brian Leyland about rising New Zealand prices and what's wrong with our energy market. Then we'll hear some commentary and insight from RCR host Marty Gibson on the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's eventful visit to the Oval Office over the weekend. And to finish things off, we've got Natalie Cutler-Welsh at the RCR Signpost, your go-to for the latest interviews, powerful campaigns and easy ways to get involved. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. France and Britain have proposed a one-month truce in Ukraine, in the air, at sea, following crisis talks in London. French President Emmanuel Macron announced Sunday, UK time. In an interview with Le Figaro, Macron suggested that European nations should increase their defence spending to between 3 and 3.5% of GDP in response to Washington's shifting priorities. The move came after UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer urged European leaders to join a coalition of the willing to help Ukraine's war effort against Russia and secure stability across the continent. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky was in London for talks 2 days after he had to cut his Washington visit short. The events followed a televised meeting between US President Donald Trump and Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky, which became heated on Friday, with Trump accusing Zelensky of being disrespectful.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you are not strong...
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President.
Multiple world leaders, including those from New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and several European countries, have since spoken in support of Ukraine. In New Zealand news, former Prime Minister Helen Clark has questioned whether New Zealand should remain part of the Five Eyes intelligence network. Clark said the alliance had gone beyond its original purpose of intelligence coordination and was now influencing wider policy decisions.
You will recall that in my time as Prime Minister, and all the time leading up to that, it was never acknowledged that it even existed. It was an intelligence sharing pool. It was never confirmed or denied that it was even there. And to see it now as the basis for joint statements, finance ministers' meetings, this is... got a bit out of control.
Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters said New Zealand must step up its defence spending to stay in good standing with its trading partners. The upcoming Defence Capability Plan, which will outline spending and equipment upgrades, is set to be released before the budget. Defence Minister Judith Collins has signalled an increase in defence spending may rise to at least 2% of GDP. ACT MP Todd Stevenson has raised concerns about proposed changes to the New Zealand Psychologists Board's Code of Ethics. The code included requirements to challenge colonialism and racism, be responsive to gender and sexuality, and have a strong knowledge of the treaty. Turning to international news now, UK judge Patrick Robinson has demanded that Britain pay £18 trillion in slavery reparations, equivalent to 7 years' GDP. He called the figure an underestimation of slavery's toll. In 2019, Robinson also ruled that the UK must return the Chagos Islands to Mauritius, a move the Conservative Party warned could jeopardise the strategic UK-US military base on Diego Garcia. Israel has halted all humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip and withdrawn from the truce with Hamas, after the first phase of the ceasefire deal ended without an agreement on a second phase. Earlier, Israel had announced its adoption of a US-backed proposal to extend the ceasefire throughout Ramadan and Passover in exchange for the release of half of the remaining captives in the enclave. Palestinians in Gaza feared a return to war as they began the first day of fasting for the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Now for RCR Quick Links. School principals have called for an end to new online reading, writing and maths tests, warning they will create a generation of school leavers with no qualifications. A survey by the Public Service Association Trade Union found that many in the healthcare sector said the government's funding cuts were wreaking havoc on frontline services. Regional Development Minister Shane Jones said the Marsden Point Refinery Company is planning to generate electricity from a new diesel power plant. Meta boss Mark Zuckerberg has fired roughly 20 employees who leaked confidential information about the social media giant. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations said China was likely to agree to make the South China Sea Code of Conduct legally binding. And Ethiopia and Somalia have reached an understanding aimed at strengthening security cooperation and regional stability. And that's RCR Bytes News for today. It's Monday, the 3rd of March. I'm Paul Brennan.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, so now time to hear from the big guy himself, Marty Gibson. He's here to dissect the fireworks in the Oval Office and fill us in on some of the little reported facts about Zelensky and his Ukraine. Over to you, Marty.
It's strange to hear the legacy media demand that negotiations to end the war in Ukraine should take place in private, so we hear only sterile statements after the real discussion takes place. You'd think they'd rejoice in the insights we're getting from seeing what happens when Volodymyr Zelensky finds Hunter Biden's missing Coke stash and has a bit too much Charlie in the Chocolate Factory before his meeting in the Oval Office. As Trump said, this is going to be great television. To assume, as many New Zealanders still do, that the media is there to tell us what is going on in the world is a big mistake. In the same way astronomers look for gravitational lensing, which is distortions in the light that reveal the presence of dark matter, distortions in reality reveal the interests of private equity firms. These rapacious, amoral businesses own and control both the media and the advertisers that fund it. They own the companies that profit from both the war and the aftermath of war. In 2022, U.S. Republican Senator Mitch McConnell was asked if the U.S. could afford to send $113 billion to Ukraine, which is enough to build a house for every homeless person in America. In a geriatric honesty glitch, the octogenarian rhino said, "Don't worry, it's not going to Ukraine, it's going to U.S. defense contractors." Private equity firms are the mainstream media's real customers, and you, my friends, are merely part of the product. Rather than huffing and puffing about the rudeness of Trump and Vance to Zelensky, undistorted media might ask, why were they so abrupt? Do they know details about Zelensky's role in selling vulnerable Ukrainian children to sex slavery and organ harvesting? Are they thinking about the role he played in laundering money for the Democrats, in supporting the Biden crime family, or selling many of the weapons he received to America's enemies? Rather than talking about how Russia started the war, they might talk about how NATO moved 1,000 miles east of Germany to encircle Russia after promising Gorbachev in 1990 that they wouldn't move an inch. A deep state project that kept rolling no matter who was president. They might talk about how the US left the anti-ballistic missile treaty in 2002, unitarily and unprovoked, and began to surround Russia with anti-ballistic missile systems. In 2007, Putin told the Munich summit to stop, and America responded by moving NATO into Ukraine and Georgia. In 2010, Ukraine elected President Viktor Yanukovych, who wanted to be neutral and stay out of NATO. And on February 22, 2014, the US played a role in his violent overthrow, and that's when the war started. We might look for the same gravitational lensing to explain Christopher Luxon's actions that deviate from what is best for New Zealand. Whether it's alienating Trump, staying in the Paris Accord, or keeping the country mired in BlackRock's diversity, equity, and inclusion fetishes, all can be explained by assuming he is prioritizing the big boys' jobs he can get now he has Prime Minister on his resume over the interests of New Zealanders. In his eager to appear statesmanlike, Luxon gives off strong premature ejaculator vibes. He gets all excited and goes too hard too early, as he did over the weekend when he prematurely tweeted that New Zealand remains steadfast in its support for Ukraine as it defends itself in a war that Russia started. It's mounting the defence of a proud democratic and sovereign nation, but also the defence of international law. Oh, good boy. This comes after his earlier tin-eared congratulations to Zelensky for making good on assurances that he could get Ukrainians to die for the deep state. Luxon's cold, amoral view of this awful conflict that has left almost 2 million Russians and Ukrainians dead is reminiscent of Joseph Stalin's dry observation that a single death is a tragedy, 1 million dead is a statistic. To help Luxon understand the tragedy of this war, if you pureed all those people it has killed and put them into 44-gallon drums, side by side they'd go from where I am in Tauranga to where he is in Wellington.
Thanks, Marty. Okay, now let's hear a snippet from Paul Brennan's interview with Brian Leyland on New Zealand's woeful energy situation.
Does there even need to be a market?
A market is a good idea if it's properly organised. And my contention is that what you need is someone coordinating the electricity system, just as you have somebody coordinating the roads and the sewage and the water supply overall, and then hiring various power stations to generate when he needs them to come together and give us all together a lowest cost of electricity.
Have you heard anything from any of the politicians that gives you any sort of hope?
Well, Wayne Jones is promoted a comprehensive review of the electricity industry. If that goes ahead, and if they get the right consultants, and if they follow the terms of reference, rather than closing them down, it could do quite a bit of good. And if it looks at the market and alternative markets, it may do a lot of good.
Brian, what's your reaction to the news over the weekend regarding Marsden Point and the refinery company planning to generate electricity from a new diesel plant? Shane Jones has been posting about this. I guess it's some use for Marsden Point, which is pretty useless to us now. Wasn't not too long ago, but is now. But that's diesel. That'll rattle a few people. Ooh, diesel.
It's better than nothing. I mean, what it does is it illustrates how serious the situation is. When we've got to resort to putting in diesels to keep the lights on, we're in deep trouble. We're looking like Nigeria. In Nigeria, 30% of the power comes from emergency diesel generators in all the hotels and businesses, and they're flaring gas off seas. We're just about in that situation.
And finally, it's now time for Natalie Cardle-Welsh with the RCR Signpost. Over to you, Nat.
Thanks, Marie. Hi, everyone. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Welcome to the first Signpost of Autumn, steering you to RCR's top interviews, boldest opinions, and real ways to take action. Did you catch last night's Gardening with Wally webinar? It was tons of fun. I was there as MC, and Rodney Hyde and gardening guru Wally Richards shared the best winter gardening tips and answered some amazing questions from participants. We had so many questions, we couldn't get through them all. But if you did miss it, the replay will be available soon. You can catch up on expert advice and get the most from your garden. My garden definitely needs a bit of help. Coming up today, Paul Brennan chats to Brian Leyland, consulting engineer with experience in all aspects of the power industry, to discuss New Zealand's looming electricity crisis and the urgent actions needed to prevent blackouts and economic disruption. And look out later for his discussion with ACT MP Mark Cameron around New Zealand's role in the Paris Climate Agreement, its economic impact, and what could happen if we opt out. Meanwhile, Dewa De Boer talks to historian and theologian Paul Facey about faith, tradition, and Christian nationalism in modern times. If you missed last week's RCR 360 with a focus on trust in media, the replay is ready to go. Alistair Harding and Marie Buskey examine the growing distrust in mainstream media, revealing its bias, government influence, and lack of balanced reporting. Catch the full interviews with Twitter Files insider Andrew Lowenthal and retired judge David Harvey for a deep dive into media manipulation. And this Thursday, RCR 360 zeroes in on gender. So much to explore. New episodes are now live for The Fourth Estate, Weekly Roundup, Media Matters, Perigo's Perspective, and Kiwi Farm. And over on the app, you can get seamless listening. You can now enjoy continuous playback across all channels on the RCR app and website. Whether you're tuned in to the latest or RCR 360, editor picks, hosts and contributors, or RCR Express, just hit play and let the content flow. No more stopping and starting. Back to you, Marie.
Okay, that's all from us today here at The Daily Brief. You can find all of today's interviews on the RCR website or app with the links below. Be sure you join us again tomorrow for more updates, news and analysis. We'll catch you then, and I will see you Wednesday. Take care.